You're tuned in to Altered Geek. Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Phillips. So anyways, welcome back. It's been a few weeks. This is actually the last episode I'll be recording before we move. That's right, it's being recorded on Wednesday, June 19th, the day after my birthday. And so what does this mean exactly? Well, aside from the fact that I haven't had an episode in probably 2-3 weeks, as it were, there's a lot going on. One, we've managed to have our house sell. Well, at least it's pending. It's had all of its inspections. We fixed everything. We're in the process of packing. This is being recorded and edited and scheduled prior to me packing up my computer, which is the very next thing I'll be doing after all of this. So yeah, we've sold one of our cars. My brother bought it. Long story short, he inquired about it. And prior to that, he got T-boned and then he needed the same car. So luckily he wasn't hurt, but it did work out in the grand scheme of things. And so we're going to be driving from Flushing, Michigan, which is close to Flint for anyone inquiring on that, to Loveland, Colorado. And we're guesstimating because we're going to pack the truck on Friday, actually prior to this episode releasing. Although if you're on like Apple Podcasts or any of the streaming platforms other than the websites that it gets published to, you'll hear it probably before that. But anyways, that being said, we're going to be packing the truck. Some friends from church and everything will be helping us pack it up. We've got a good portion of the house pre-packed already in the garage, the upstairs living room, and our Michigan sunroom. And we're going to be tearing apart furniture today and tomorrow, which is Wednesday and Thursday, and going from there to moving it down into the lower room. So basically everything will be in 3 rooms and that's how the truck will get loaded. Going to be driving a 26-foot Penske. And when you say Penske, people are like, don't you mean like a U-Haul? Well, the difference between a Penske and a U-Haul, and I really wasn't sure prior, but not only is it cheaper for a Penske, but Penske's are a diesel truck, whereas U-Haul is a unleaded gas, which it's kind of a wash because depending on what gas station it is, depends on which one is higher price-wise on fuel. So that's not a big difference. What the difference is U-Haul gives you a 26-foot truck, but what they don't tell you is 3 feet of it is not fully usable. Because 3 feet of it are over the front of the cab. And what that means is you lose about 5 feet of storage space below that area. That could be utilized for furniture, for boxes, for a majority of other things. Now, I get it. It's for supposedly your things that are breakable and things you don't want sloshed around. My gripe with it, though, is that not only is it difficult to get on top of, but unless you have things tall enough to prevent those from flying out while you're driving, those things are going to move and get damaged. So I would much rather have everything subcompacted together evenly across the bottom of the floor with the same amount of space used. And then the other gripe I have with U-Haul is they have wheel wells in the back. Penske's do not. So again, it's just more space and more flat space that you get in a Penske, and so that's the reason why we chose that. I'm hoping there's like an auxiliary port in the radio for the drive, because my wife will be driving one of our kids and one or two of the animals in our Equinox, and they have a USB port with preloaded flash drives for the car for listening. And I am hoping there's a auxiliary port in the vehicle, because if not, it's going to be a long drive. Because I have my iPod loaded up with podcasts and episodes of, like, the program that I'll be working on is Discovery Mountain, which is a children's audio program with Christian values and everything. And it's very well done, very well orchestrated. It's an audio play. It's like listening to old-time radio. You get all the sound effects. You get the music. Everything is choreographed with a composer for music. And it's really great. I got to voice a small five-liner in the Season 9 mini-episode that we recorded while I was in studio visiting the location in Loveland, Colorado. And so I got to voice the gas station attendant, which was pretty much just my voice here. Like, it really wasn't anything special. Although it was funny because a couple of the inflections in it, he asked me to add some, like, kind of ad-lib a little bit. And as most of you know, some of my ad-libbing is a little bit left to be desired. So what happened is, he asked me to slow it down because I was trying to say Blue Birdie, which is the name of their de Havilland Beaver airplane. And I couldn't say it. I kept saying Bew Blurdy, and it was coming out horribly wrong. And so what I did is I slowed way down so I could say Blue Birdie. And now, granted, I'm not in front of the microphone there, so it's a little bit easier for me to say it now. Plus, I botched it, something terrible, while I was there, to the point I was getting the other actors mixed up. But it was pretty much a three-person scene throughout that that shot between me and two other people. So it was a lot of fun being in a recording booth with other people, as opposed to recording some lines in front of my computer on my desk and emailing them and not knowing how it's going to sound in terms of the other actors. So it very much allows you to play off of other people, which I think is a bonus that you get to collaborate, and it just makes for a more natural read. So a lot of their recording process for this is if they have a scene with certain people, they will coordinate scheduling for a like week or two block and get all of these people that have to record lines together so they can get multiple takes of these lines and then just kind of fish for the good stuff between all of it. So it's really well done. I'm really blown away by how well it comes out, and my boys listen to it as sharply as they do television. Now granted, they're thinking instead of blindly staring, which is a good thing. And so I'm very much excited. They've kind of insinuated that I might be getting anywhere from like 2 to 3 or more new character roles in upcoming seasons. So I'm very, very excited and hoping that I do get to do that. It's a lot of fun. So, in other news, we've had a couple weeks to use our Google Pixel 3a phones. And I have to say, I'm pretty blown away by how well these work. Now, granted, there are some features I miss from my Galaxy S5. Some of those being, and I'm not exactly sure how to do this yet. I'm still kind of learning it, or if there's different app variations. Galaxy S5 allows you to schedule text messages, which I've yet to figure out how to do on my Pixel. They say you can do it through the calendar, but to be honest, I don't really want to mess with that. If it's not in the text software, I don't really care. I do like that when you turn off, it allows you to disable notifications instead of having to hack the programs in the settings. There's a notifications bar that pops up when you get notifications, and you can go in, or you can even go into the settings, and there's a apps and notifications page, and it'll say your recently opened apps, and you can go to the notifications part, and you can turn off the notification dots that show whether you have things. You can go to the app notifications area in there and turn off. The only ones you can't turn off are your messages, your text messages, and your phone. So like if I don't want, let's say, PayPal, Facebook Messenger, LinkedIn, which obviously I don't really need much anymore, Netflix, or just really any of those type apps to pop up, you can turn them off with just a tap and then they're gone. There's no delay it for 18 hours or 24 hours and get bombarded again. They go away, which I love that you can do that. Another thing that I like is there's a feature that when you slide over, you get like your Google News update. So basically anything that you would typically search for is going to show up there. So for me, it was like cell phones. There's, you know, different things with streaming services. There's tech updates. There's, other like technology news and show news and everything else. So it's really cool what they have now in there. That being said, there's a couple things that are pretty interesting that I'm not fond of. I like how you make folders on this thing. There's sometimes where they don't want to pair with a folder and it will make the icons run around the screen and then eventually you'll get it in there, which I found to be a little bit irritating when I was going to dump a bunch of icons. Now, granted, I don't have nearly as many as I did on my old phone. And it also allows you to shrink your text and your view down smaller, which for someone that needs glasses to see, you probably have a hard time. Because compared to my Galaxy S5, like everything's bigger on the S5 on the screen, whereas my Pixel, everything's smaller, but I preferred it that way. Another nice thing is when you're taking photos on the Pixel, because they allow you to have them, they allow you to condense the file size and store them on Google Photos. So it essentially backs up your phone constantly when you plug it in. I do love that feature. Plus, there were instances where, because this is my first introduction to USB-C, which is the reversible plug that you can use any which way you feel like, I'd never dealt with that before. And so trying to transfer those from one phone to the other was a royal pain. Although I didn't know you could turn on NFC and do that. So I'm learning new things with my technology as I go. But I did love something else. There was an adapter that came on them that allowed you to plug in your old phone to your new phone when you're setting it up. and it will copy all your settings, your apps, your Wi-Fi locations, your browser, everything, your photos, and your text messages. And you can select what you don't want to go over to the new device. And I selected pretty much everything because the intent was to get off the old phone. I'm still using the old phone for basic tablet purposes around my house. And until I get certain apps acclimated on the new phone, because I haven't used them yet. Sometimes it's easier just to go to the other one when I need it right that moment. And then I eventually add it to the new one. So it's been really, really cool messing with that technology. So I noticed something the other day, and I was going on Twitter, and because I hang out on there, my wife's kind of jumped on board the Twitter bandwagon, doesn't really understand it. So she's trying to figure it out. And yeah, it's kind of fun trying to teach her, but at the same time, it's not, because she doesn't really understand any of it. And she doesn't get that it's more of a conversation piece, because it's not really like Facebook, and she's been a Facebook user. And I'm not, I use Facebook. I don't like Facebook. It's kind of like, Apple Podcasts or iTunes. I use it because I have to, but I don't like it. Like my iPod, if there was another way I could dump files on it and not have to deal with iTunes not connecting half the time, I would use that. And I don't like Apple's plethora of podcasting-oriented hardware, software, devices. I don't mind their computer so much, because they're usable, and they, other than a small difference in interface compared between Windows 10 and OS X, it's not really that much different to get acclimated. Especially anymore, like back in the day when you used Windows 95 or 3.11 or 98, XP, you know, 7, there were major differences. But with 10, it's not that much different. I mean, it is still Windows, but it's still different, but very similar. I know it's very contradicting. But yeah, one of my friends on Twitter, for some reason, he got his account suspended. And mind you, he's got like 5,200 followers, so he's a little bit higher than me. I'm at 3,800, kind of borderline there, trying to get above it. But he, for whatever reason, they blocked his account or suspended it. No rhyme or reason. As far as I know, he doesn't post politically, so I don't know. But I know that can trigger some people, and they can cause you to get banned or whatever. And Twitter's, of course, useless when you need to get a hold of them and find out information. Yeah, because when you go to his, you can still click on it, it'll show his name and his information, and it won't let you follow. It's got him removed. It's got no followers. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't understand Twitter, you know, and it doing that, because they don't explain how or why it happened or how to fix it. And he's filed appeals to get it redone, and they don't respond. And yeah, so it's really weird how they play that game. With things, especially when some people have their accounts built up and they've got so much content tied to it, and then you can't use it anymore. Looks like people have still been tagging him for weeks, but he's not been able to log in. So it's, yeah, Twitter's kind of a weird beast in that sense. It's like when you work in the media and you should be verified and they don't. But they'll, you know, and you could have more followers than somebody else. And it's really strange. So another bit of technology that kind of piqued my interest is there is a new AI that Adobe concocted that can detect and reverse manipulated images. So like they were showing, for instance, like a face or in a photo or video that you're looking at, they want to know if it's real or fake. And the creators of Photoshop are coming out with tools that can help you spot an altered face. So letting you, you know, see what the original image likely looked like. And it says researchers with Adobe and University of California, Berkeley, recently developed an AI program that recognizes when Photoshop's face-aware liquify tool is used, a tool that can be used to alter facial expressions. Now, I wonder if that works when you're using something that's not Adobe-centric. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But it says, again, that they may soon have this technology. It says the team trained a convolutional neural network, CNN, which I would think that would be a copyright issue right there, a form of AI by feeding the computer sets of images, one original and one altered. Using the data, the researchers trained the software to recognize when the faces in the photographer were manipulated. The software looks for several different cues, from warping artifacts to the layout of the face. While the untrained person could spot the fake 53% of the time, the software reaches rates as high as 99% accurate in picking out the fake photo. But the software could also go one step further and make a rough estimate of what the original image looked like, likely reverse engineering the image based on the different artifacts and signals that manipulation was used in the first place. Adobe says that the researchers were surprised at how accurately the software could estimate what the original image looked like. Now, the funny thing about this is, it's basing it on the Adobe software. It doesn't account for the fact that, for instance, if I were to, say, copy the picture, like flatten all the layers, copy the picture to a new file, and save it as another file format. Say, for instance, if this was a PNG or a PSD, you saved it as a JPEG. It doesn't say if that will make a difference or not. Because it shouldn't tell the difference if it's translated in a different way. So for instance, if you photo manipulated something, printed it, scanned it, and then used it, you couldn't tell that it was manipulated in the first place. So I'm wondering if this works with digital versions. So like if you're taking it from one program to another and flattening it, putting it in a new file, or printing it as a PDF and then doing a screenshot of it, if you would be able to, you know, as far as images are concerned, video, it would be able to pick up much easier because there's only really three games in that, and that's like Final Cut, Adobe, and Avid. So I don't know. That could be an interesting topic of whether, because I watched a Bill Hader video where he's talking on one of the, like Jimmy Kimmel or some other late show. And the only reason I watched it was because they showed, as he does his impressions of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the this guy had manipulated the video using AI to morph Arnold's face on Bill Hader's body while he's doing the Arnold impression. So whenever he goes back to Bill Hader, his face changes back to him, but when he goes to Arnold, it morphs slowly into, like transitionally into Arnold, and then it just looks like Arnold on a skinny body. It was really creepy looking, to be honest, and I was kind of a little weirded out watching it, but at the same time it was really cool watching the impression change as it went along. And it's, again, it was that deep fake. You know, I saw it on Amber Mack's Twitter. It was very creepy. But it's a warning, you know, basically that if somebody can do your voice or take it and they can make you pretty much say anything, you know, they have... It's, you know, it's like 10 seconds into the video and his face changes, and it was so subtle that you didn't really notice, you know, until it happened. And Yeah, I mean, it was just really weird. So again, it's kind of this weird issue of having to deal with this in the future of watching more fake content come out and kind of defending against it, because people can manipulate and mislead on just about anything in this day and age, especially with impressionists. You know, somebody taking something out of context and creating a new, you know, fake video. And Samsung's even got new AI software makes, you know, generating fake videos and things. So I'm thinking that they'll eventually make it so you cannot do that. Because I know, like, somebody was using Snapchat. I think it was John Bailey was using Snapchat to overlay his face with another face. Like, for instance, if he did the voice of the Joker or his impression of the Joker. And he would put the Joker's face over top of his. It would look like the Joker saying these things. Granted, it wasn't very fluid or smooth as the Bill Hader AI video. But they did remove that feature from Snapchat, as far as I know, because he said he couldn't use it anymore and he was looking for alternatives. But I think that it's kind of an interesting thing that they're kind of going in that direction, and they're trying to kind of prevent it from happening. And it's really weird. So anyways, yeah, that's some of the stuff I've been kind of checking out lately. I've been looking at that. You know, there's new, I'm looking at building a new computer. So I've been using this website called PC Part Picker, which allows you to see compatibilities or issues, and you can kind of build your system, and it tells you where you can get the part the cheapest from where. And so, like, if it's, you know, like a Intel Core i5 9600K 3.7 gigahertz 6-core processor, you can get it free shipping from Walmart. Or you can get like a Thermaltake CPU cooler from Amazon. That's my cat throwing up in the background. Come here, kitty. She's 13. She's old. Oh, go get a drink of water. Stop dry heaving. That sounds awesome on the podcast. So anyways, then they have like a G-Skill, you know, 16 gigabyte DDR4 2666 memory. It says free shipping, new egg. So like you can kind of, and it shows you like your total, and you can kind of price it out. Another thing I was trying to do is go on Newegg and get it through there and kind of price it out. Still trying to figure out motherboards and something that I want that's going to be kind of future-proofed, but it's going to have all the features I want. I'm kind of one of those people that more USB ports. But I don't want like a ton of USB 2.0 because everything's going 3.0 and 3.1 and 3.2 and USB-C. So I want my new one to have the USB-C plug in the back or a jumper in the front. Now, granted, my case is just as old as my processor and hardware, which is about 7 years old now. Still runs great for the most part, but I've noticed as things have gotten a little bit more processor intensive, it's made it difficult to use certain parts. Like, it takes a while to load some things up, and I've got a solid state hard drive and 12 gigs of RAM. It's just the processor's not keeping up anymore. Which is really sad, because I think it started happening around the time Chrome and Windows 10 updated sequentially within the same like 2 week span, and my computer started running like garbage afterward. So I'm pretty sure it happened around then, kind of a forced, you know, hey, you're gonna get new hardware because your computer sucks. It runs fine once it's up, and usually I put it to sleep so I don't have to deal with that. But it's been, like I said, an issue, and so I'm looking at getting a new motherboard, a new processor, new RAM. I'll still be able to use my old video card, which, funny enough, although it's old and it doesn't have like the VR technology and some of the 3D technology built into it, it's still a 2 gigabyte card, and if you were going to buy it new, it's still $140, and it's probably like 4 or 5 years old. So it's still a good card, and I'm not planning on upgrading it. I have hard drives, I have a Blu-ray burner, I have an SD card reader. So a lot of it I'll be able to cobble back together into my new machine. I have two monitors. So I'm kind of trying to build into the new one the ability to have a third monitor if I need one. Because I have one Asus widescreen IPS monitor, and I have a Sony squared off monitor. Now, the Asus is a 27-inch widescreen. My Sony is a 21-inch squared monitor, which I use primarily for like when I'm recording or I'm editing photos. I use that monitor for that. Or if I have to have notes up somewhere, I'll use it. I use my main screen for when I'm in a program that's intensive, or I'm in something that I need it to be color accurate. Now, granted, my Sony is color accurate too, but there's a slight difference. I use it for video editing. I use it for some of the larger images I have to deal with. So again, I use it. I love having two monitors. I would not mind having a third one at all, but it just kind of depends. And so, yeah, the plan is I would be able to cobble together a brand new system, and I'm trying to do it for under $500, which is very difficult when you want a Core i5 6-core processor and a motherboard, because between those two, you're almost there. And the memory, like, I don't have to get a high end. I'm probably going to get a G-Skill or Crucial branded ones of those, and then kind of go from there. I'm planning on getting another like hard drive, like maybe a Seagate, like 2 or 4 gigabyte, or Western Digital, somewhere in there. I'm trying to spend under like $80 for another hard drive, because again, the motherboard, processor, and RAM are going to eat up the majority of the cash that I'm planning on setting aside for this. And the other thing I kind of wonder about, and I'll have to inquire to this to some people that do this often, is I'm wondering if I'm going to have to reinstall Windows, or if it will auto-detect plugging it into the new hardware. Because Windows has gotten more plug-and-play and not like as stingy on the hardware, I'm wondering if it'll take a minute and it'll just reconfigure, or if it's going to pose a problem I'm going to have to reinstall. So in that boat, I would have to get like another, I would probably get another SSD hard drive first, and then kind of work my way and reinstall that way. I know, very, very tech jargony in this episode, and kind of a lot of different things, but yeah. So you'll notice I'm not talking pop culture anymore. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I honestly just don't care all that much anymore. And that's kind of another thing of where this is an altered geek moment, altering my geekdom. I'm getting more into like the production side of things. So it's a little bit interesting doing that, because I've always been interested in getting more involved with it, aside from what I've already done in the past. And, I've always been tech oriented. I'm going to be taking up the reins writing again for commando.com. And then I should be starting writing for lifewire.com as well, for consumer electronics. So that'll be a little bit nice, padding, for anything extra that comes our way, or for saving for a new house. Since housing is exorbitantly more high priced out in Colorado as opposed to Michigan, because Michigan is so poor, we can't afford any of it. So, like I said, it's going to be an interesting experience. So I'm going to be probably streaming at certain points, or not while I'm driving, of course, because I'm going to be driving a 26-foot truck with one of my children. So I may have a dash cam recording conversation or, you know, something, and then we'll have like some kind of a video put together. I'll probably post them late at night every day while we're doing anything to do with the drive. So yeah. So anyways, I think that's about it on this episode of Altered Geeks. So I hope you guys enjoyed this update. Sorry it's a little shorter. Granted, it's not quite that short. We're at 36 minutes roughly. But yeah, I'm very excited for all the changes and kind of showing what's going on. And we're going to be renting a duplex, 3-bedroom, full basement. It's going to have an upstairs, so connected but via garage, not by house to house. So that'll be nice. I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to record with the new setup and having to set up my computer and build a new desk or something. Little sad to see the house go, but it's going to be a new adventurous journey for sure. And we're looking forward to it. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.